I may have mentioned this several times, actually, in my homilies. And I'm sure you all know by now, I come from a large family. A large family of eight. But my extended family is much larger. Both from my mother's side and my father's side. Especially my father's side. So large that we have to have the elders decided to have a every December family reunion so that the cousins will get to know which ones are added and who gets married. And even though I have a lot of cousins, I would recognize each one of them. But how interesting that in our gospel we see that Jesus' own cousin, John the Baptist, does not even recognize his own cousin. We heard in the gospel, John says over and over, I do not know him, or I did not know him. How odd, don't you find that odd? That John does not recognize his own cousin. And of course, the easy way to explain this odd reaction between John the Baptist and Jesus is that they really weren't cousins. Perhaps it would be better said in our own terminology now that Jesus and John the Baptist are like first cousin twice removed or third cousin twice removed. They were in fact kinsmen. They're related. They're kinsmen. They were kinsmen who may never have met. This blood and family tree ties between the two men, as emphasized in the scripture, though, has very little bearing on John the Baptist's relationship with Jesus. Taking a backseat to this kinsman relationship, the baptizer reveals a different relationship between the two men, John the Baptist and Jesus. As we see that in the scripture, in the gospel, John the Baptist, the baptizer, becomes a witness. He becomes a witness. He is the witness to the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. He becomes a witness to this man of the Spirit. He is witness to the Son of God. Cousins or not, kinsmen or not, family ties or not, John's main concern as the baptizer is to proclaim the person of Jesus Christ, to herald his presence among us and prepare us for the message of the Son of God. All pointed to Jesus. But it does something even a bit beyond that. John's relationship to Jesus as a witness and not as a kinsman sets the stage for all people to recognize that even though they are not a part of Jesus' family, that's of little importance because we are bonded with Christ, not by blood. Not because we are blood relatives, but because we are witnesses to his redemption, to his grace and mercy in the world. And for us, as disciples and followers of Christ, the primary way we are bonded to Christ is through the waters of baptism. Through the waters of baptism. And in addition to sealing of that baptism through the movement of the Holy Spirit, receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit in confirmation, as well as participating in the shared Eucharistic meal. In the sacramental life of the Church, and our participation of that life, and our openness to the grace of God being poured down upon us, we are bonded, we are united. And that bond invites us to become witnesses. Just as John the Baptist came baptizing, each of us come as the baptized. We come as the baptized. The baptism we have received makes us witnesses to Jesus, the Lamb of God. And there are countless ways we can witness to the Lamb of God to the world. Now, perhaps we can start with our full participation in the sacramental life of the Church. I think that's a very obvious one. Participation in the sacramental life of the Church, baptizing our children, you know, being confirmed if we are of age, going to confession regularly, and especially receiving the sacrament of the Eucharist, participating Sunday after Sunday in the Eucharistic meal. But that's more an internal witness to our fellow Christians, to each other. Because we can also witness by living our baptism in the world. In baptism, we have received grace. We receive the sanctifying grace of the Holy Spirit. Our sins, original sin, is forgiven. So let us let that grace flow from us to the world. May we also be grace-filled so that other people will see us and be grace-filled because of us. In baptism, we have received forgiveness. Let that forgiveness also flow into the world. In baptism, our God has invited us into the communion of saints. Then in our lives, may we be a source of unity. That's living our baptismal calling. It's worth noting that from January 18 to the 25th is the week of prayer for Christian unity. Every January, the week of prayer for Christian unity. And today we remember that we do not witness alone. That's why we pray for unity. Because as a church, as baptized believers, as the body of Christ, we never witness alone. We witness to the Lamb of God together as church. For unity is the mark of our baptism into Christ. Just as we are one with Christ, not by blood, but by water and spirit, so we are one with one another in that same water and the same spirit. We are bonded to one another as fellow disciples, as fellow witnesses. And yes, some of us may be cousins. We may not be cousins. Once, twice, thrice removed, it doesn't matter, for we are one in Christ. One in Christ. At this feast, our unity is revealed all the more as we partake of the one bread, one cup, and share it as one family. And may it be our prayer always, every day of our lives, that the Lamb of God make us one. So as we are one in faith, may we also work that unity with one another. Amen.